Good afternoon, Chairman, Senators. I appreciate you allowing me the time to speak about SB 500, SB 52. I'm going to start out with, we're back. SB 500, this bill came to light and affected our family quite unexpectedly last year. Some of you may have seen our ad 90 days on television regarding our plight. And as a promise to our daughter, we're here to see that this bill is fixed and to ensure what's been promised by those newly elected to power, fix this bill. We have high expectations from those who made these promises to us this past October to ensure public safety. The mere mention of SB 500 leaves a negative impression in people's minds because of the release of specific inmates from our prison system. As written now in its present form, in our opinion, SB 52 merely puts a Band-Aid on a hemorrhage. There are far-reaching consequences of this bill. This law affects not only the public safety, it also affects the prison's population, the prison guard's safety, and puts more pressure and responsibility on the probation and parole community. Local county sheriff's departments are also impacted, as they're the people who transport these people, these inmates, from facility to facility or from court to a facility. When you have an incident like the one recently in the North Country where a guard or guards were held hostage and slashed with a handmade weapon, the inmates are standing around them chanting SB 500, SB 500, knowing that doesn't matter what they do, there's no penalty. There's no incentives for good behavior or behavior modifications, and they can act with impunity. Chaos reigns, and it did. The costs for imprisonment are shifted down to the counties, making the state's books appear as though we're saving money. Ultimately, it's Joe taxpayer, you and me, will shoulder the true costs of implementing this bill. Michael and I have spent our time poring over this bill and its revision, and we're here today to offer recommendations and suggestions to those lawmakers to make this bill right and effective for not only our family, but for all the families in the state of New Hampshire. Sponsors of SB 500, and it was a positive response to addressing the issue of recidivism. We're not discounting the long study that was done. We do not take umbrage towards the 9-month early release. I think Michael and I, right from the beginning, supported that aspect of this bill. The program started with the sponsors took portions of other states' successful programs and integrated them with the existing but they created SB 500 here to address the high recidivism rate. Those programs started with a fully funded staff and infrastructure, and there's a big difference. Those programs were successful. It's not successful here. Federal monies were made available to our state and grants. None of the other states mandate the early release of violent and sex offenders. They aren't even part of the equation. Therefore, the first part to be amended is to exempt these inmates from the bill. Secondly, restore the discretionary authority to the parole board and probation offices. These people are the first people. They're on the front lines. They have their fingers on the pulse of these inmates who are to be released, and they can most accurately judge whether or not an extended stay in prison will correct the behaviors that are unacceptable in society. They're the people who are qualified to assess a strict or more lenient penalty for a probation or parole violation. And across the board, one-size-fits-all 90-day sentence is unacceptable. Thirdly, fund and staff those programs accordingly before the inmates are released. In these harsh economic times, released inmates are going to find it really difficult to secure jobs and housing and services. This will fall to the communities they'll be released into. Local businesses will need to be open to accepting and hiring those released. Housing needs will have to be met as well. And that brings us to the sentencing part of this bill. With the restoration of authority to the parole board, they then have the discretion to assess the penalties, whether it be a 90-day sentence or the length of time the violation warrants. And I heard, I was very pleased to hear in a previous testimony that this is the goal. I'm very happy. Release to staffed programs and housing will be made upon the parole board or the probation officer's recommendations. We ask your consideration and due diligence to make this bill a good one, one in which the intent was positive but failed us thus far. Craft this bill to ensure our children, our citizens, the safety they deserve. If in fact this bill needs to be repealed, do it. And in its place, present two separate bills, one addressing the recidivism, the other addressing the staffing and funding of the programs to those who will be released. Please make this work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I have a question for you, if I may. Mm-hmm. And I just want to read, I just want to make sure I captured what your thoughts on this were. One was, correct me if I'm not captured, one was you supported the 9 months.
No.
Yeah.
Supervised.
We thought, yes, that was a goal, to keep the inmates who were released under a supervision, yes.
Second was the 90 days return without discretion was not something that you looked favorably upon.
It's not an option.
And the third would be to fund programs and staffing levels to provide the necessary supervision.
Yes. Before release, yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
There being none, thank you.
If I may?
Of course.
I'm sorry.
Of course, I'm sorry.
My name's Michael Gilmore. I am just a plain citizen in the state of New Hampshire. I have no connections with this, any legislature, law enforcement, or anything else. I'm just kind of retired. I want to thank those who spoke before. You actually made a lot of the points that I wanted to make. You brought up a lot of the issues that I had to bring up. A lot of the details I didn't want to go into, and thank God I won't have to. But I think all in all, in general, what I heard is a lot of focus on what I call the extremes. If I want to argue a case for doing something, let me give just a small percentage counter, and that will negate the opposition. I urge you to ignore the extremes. Let's go for the middle of the road, the majority of what is going on. We are for recidivism. When my wife said, I kind of took off also, we're for the 9 month early release. Yes and no. We're for the supervision of the 9 months. I prefer to see it longer, but not at the cost of letting them out of prison when the people who are in charge, the people who are closest to them, say no. Who are the people that max out? These are the people who didn't qualify for parole. There's a reason they're in jail. If they had qualified and they had cooperated, if they're ready to start to reintegrate, let them out under supervision. Releasing them just on parole on their own, no, I do not agree with. Okay, that's the extemporaneous part of my presentation, sorry. Now, SB 500, the inmates rallying cry during the November Berlin prison uprising. SB 500, you gotta let me out, you got no choice. Inmates before the parole board. I got no place to go, no job, nothing. Sorry, SB 500 requires us to release you now. These are but a few of the benefits provided by SB 500. SB 52 is the Senate's attempt to fix this bill, now the law. It too falls short. SB 500 is really a simple bill to read and understand. There are four basic parts. Quote, shall be released on parole at least 9 months prior to the expiration of the maximum term. Two, shall be released on parole upon serving 120% of the minimum term. Three, shall serve 90 days in prison before being placed back on parole. And fourth, persons placed on probation or parole be subject to active supervision. These are clear and absolute. No discretionary alteration or modification. SB 52 attempts to address only the release and sentencing parts. It restores the parole board discretionary powers to the pre-SB 500 levels. It undoes what SB 500 did to the existing laws. SB 52 does not address the flaws surrounding the recidivism issue. SB 52 cannot be a temporary fix until a more comprehensive one can be crafted later. We all know it won't happen. So much for SB 52. We believe it's a hollow fix. A good start, but can we afford to continue going with little fixes now and then? The SB 500 active supervision is currently not in place. It is neither staffed, funded, and not even a plan has been submitted. I will correct part of that because I think I heard in previous testimony that actually part of this is being actually put into place now. So modify that, please. So where are we if SB 52 is passed today? Exactly where we were before SB 500 was effective. Just with a lot more words to confuse and provide loopholes. Why do we need all these laws and changes just to get us back to where we were? And can I predict lawyers will find the new loopholes and all those words? Words which just bring us back to where we started. KISS. Keep it simple, Sam. Repeal SB 500. Clear, direct, unambiguous. We will be no worse off than when we were, we'll be no worse off than we were and better than we are now. I think that's indisputable. A simple solution to this complex problem, but not a complete solution. We believe part of SB 500 was a good idea, badly implemented, but still a good goal, address recidivism. Supporters of SB 500 referenced the Texas and Kansas programs, but failed to read their program and implementation. Never mind, copy it. Those places did it right. We made a criminal's dream come true. The open door law, let them go. We think New Hampshire needs a real recidivism bill, one with two parts, close counseling help and an extended defined supervisory period after release. I think we're all in common agreement on that point. It must be designed and focused on recidivism, no ulterior motives, no hidden agendas, and no secondary objectives. One, counseling, a staged plan starting with the low risk, high success persons first. Then based on their success, move up the risk scale to the next level. If the program fails for any group or risk level, it must be stopped. We must accept the fact that we cannot reach out and help everyone. First priority is and must be that it is fully funded, staffed, and all programs in place before the first person is let out. Funding cannot be based on future savings from an emptied prison cells. It's like opening up a beach, charging admission, and after the first season, hiring the lifeguards. To strengthen the recidivism program, the sentencing laws must also be amended to add minimum supervision periods to all sentences. This simple addition will assure that adequate time to reintegrate inmates into the community is provided. It is foolish to reduce prison time just to get community supervision time. I think this is a critical part of what was missing in SB 500 and the whole plan we've heard so far. Everyone's focused on leaving the max to max. It's not a prisoner's right that we can't add more time or more supervisory time. We have to add what we believe is the best in the public interest for all involved. SB 52, don't waste any more good words on bad ones. It won't work. SB 500 was born and forced through in the smoke and mirrors of election year politics. It was sold as a budget fixer to increase public safety, to reduce recidivism, and not for violent offenders. Lies. It has done none of it. In reality, it was a magic budget balancer to save the then current administration, and now is the inmates' get out of jail free card. It is and will continue to be the inmates' best release chance, second only to removing the door locks, a political success, a public failure. Also, is there a connection between the $13.5 million in federal stimulus and grant monies the state is or will be receiving in SB 500? Is this why supporters and opponents alike are reluctant to repeal SB 500? Do we need to follow the money to uncover the truth about SB 500? I don't know. This was brought up and added only as of yesterday, as the information did not come to us until yesterday morning, and that's all we could find on it. SB 500 was created bad. It was falsely represented. The implementation was bad. The results are bad. You can't paint it with SB 52 and call it fixed. Please repeal SB 500 and pass real, effective, safe reform. Protect us from this bad bill. In large part, it is why some of you here were elected. Please do your job as New Hampshire legislators. No party affiliation required. It is not a party issue. There is no Democrat, Independent, Republican, or undeclared side to this. We were sold on a thoroughbred and got a lame Mustang. Time to get rid of it. We are not safer because of SB 500. We, and our children especially, are more at risk every day this bill is in effect. Please repeal it now, today, before more damage is done. Please just repeal SB 500. In closing, for those who don't know, I think you've heard about the Michael Reeves family, where their son had a near-miss encounter with a sexual predator. Our daughter Leah also had a near-miss. That's why we're here. She protected her friend and her classmates by getting between him and them. She can't be here. She's away at college. She asked us to stay in her place. We're doing that. We're trying. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.